Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for a few moments to pause in this morning and just, we call it devotions, but we just want to praise you. We just want to thank you. And Lord, with the newborn in Amy's womb, we just want to dedicate that newborn to you. And one day soon, we'll find out whether it's a future man of God or a woman of God, but whatever it is, Lord, it is yours, and we just pray for an infilling of the Holy Spirit, and even now, as there is a spirit in that newborn child and communing with you, and so it's glorious just to bow down before you now, all of us, regardless of our physical ages, and chosen before the foundation of the world, and so, Lord, here we are. Just with grateful hearts. And Lord, as we look at your word today and look at another prayer in the Bible and see really the third king of Israel's prayer here, Solomon, in his very early part of his reign, where he is being approached by you to ask what I would give you. And so, Lord, such a good question for each of us, it would seem. So open our hearts to your word as we look at it, and may you reveal what we should do with the word that we receive. So bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And we have Solomon being approached by the Lord in a dream at night. Interesting. Solomon has just taken over from David as David is dying. And the first couple of chapters in 1 Kings really have to do with his takeover, and it's a kind of a bloody mess. He's got to clean up, do some work that King David has asked him to do, that Joab's got to go, and then Abijah's got to go because he wanted to take the virgin that was given to King David, which is a sign when you take a king's concubine or virgin that you're in line for the kingship. And so, but Solomon was very gracious because he gave these people, and then Shimei, who had cursed David when Absalom was approaching Jerusalem and David left. And so Solomon gave Shimei and Adonijah a reprieve, really. He didn't kill them right away. He gave them some conditions under which if they would live, they would keep their lives. And if they didn't, he would take their lives, and they didn't, so he took their lives. But now we see in chapter 3 that he is starting to reign, and one of the first things he does, he makes a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and marries the daughter and brings her to the king of David. And of course, he did a lot of that, and it's really tragic because he did what the Lord had commanded the kings not to do. He multiplied silver, he multiplied gold, he multiplied horses, and he took many wives, and all of those things the king was not to do. And yet we see here in this prayer that he asks for wisdom, and God gives him wisdom. So wisdom alone, unless it's really directed toward the Lord, apparently isn't all we need, because Solomon was the wisest of all, and yet he didn't finish very well, did he? But this is the beginning of his reign. In verse 3, we have this great phrase, "And Solomon loved the Lord." Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. And then we have kind of a tragic word in there, except that he sacrificed and burnt incense at the high places. And he would continue to do that through his whole reign. And he was worshiping and burning offerings to his pagan wives, of which he had 700, I guess it was. And so, well, not all of them were pagan, I guess, but most of them were. And so remember that word "except," as we will come back to that, particularly with respect to how do you love the Lord? How would the Lord characterize, or maybe a writer, the Spirit, characterizing your life and your walk right today? Would you be characterized as loving the Lord and walking in His way? Would there be any excepts in there? Except that he or she did whatever? A good question to ask ourselves. Now, he sacrificed at the high places, but the main high place was Gibeon. It was a small town about 6 miles from Jerusalem. That's where the Ark of the Covenant had been moved to when they brought it in from Kiriath-Yahim, that David had brought it in. And so he went there to offer, that was the main high place, so he, a great high place it's called, so he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. Now, I don't know how long that took. That would take a long time to slaughter 1,000 animals. But chapter five, or verse 5, it says, the Lord appears to Solomon in a dream by night. And God asked him a very interesting question here. Ask, what shall I give you? If you do a word study on the word ask, particularly through the New Testament as well, you will see that many, many, many times we're told to ask. We're told to ask. You know, of course, James says, you have not because you ask not, or you ask amiss. When Jesus was approaching the blind man there down by Jericho, you know, the blind man wouldn't shut up. He kept saying, Jesus, 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 have mercy on me. And then Jesus had mercy on him and told them to bring the blind man to him. And he asked a very interesting question. He said, what would you have me to do for you? And would you have asked that blind man the question? I don't think I would have asked him that question. Obviously, he wants to see, right? I mean, it isn't a question of what he's asked for. But Jesus is asking. And I think that speaks a lot to us because he is really giving us that same question, I think. Ask, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? And today, if you were just going to make one request to the Lord, what would it be? What would it be? Because he's saying here, ask, what shall I give you? Interesting, isn't it? Solomon's answer was, first he stands on the promises of God, really. He has four you haves in here. He's giving God the glory, basically saying, you've shown great mercy to my father David. You have continued this great kindness. You've given him a son to sit on the throne. And you have made me to be your servant as king of Israel. But now notice the humility that comes in. And that's another question I would ask you. How present is the humility in your prayers? Do you really see yourself for who you are and what you are as we approach the Almighty God? I mean, our access has been purchased by the blood of Jesus. And since we have access and have always had access, it doesn't seem like it's so special. But if you would have lived during the 1500 years when we had the old covenant, you would have never had access to God. You always have to go through the priest, and you could never go into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could go in there once a day. But you know that veil was rent when Jesus' body died on the cross, and we have that access. And that word access, as I've mentioned before to some of you anyway, not only is like a doorway into this office where you came in giving access into this office, but the word access actually means being led through or led in or guided in. So the access we have by Jesus is not only a way into the Holy of Holies, into the direct availability to God the Father, but he's actually leading us there. And so I think that's what prayer is all about. I think that we're led to pray. We're led to pray. And so we have that access. So we then can come before him and we can ask, just as the Lord is posing to Solomon the question, ask, what shall I give you? And then he stands on the promises of God. And so we need to stand on the promises of God. And then notice his humility here where he says, I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. A little child can be interpreted at anything up to 20 years old. I don't know how old Solomon was at this point. Or as a servant, it can be used of any age. If I'm a true servant, I really have the heart of a little child, is what this is really saying. But he's also, it seems to be very humble here. I don't know how to go out or come in. And now I'm serving your people whom you have chosen, a great people too numerous to be numbered or to be counted. Therefore, here's what his ask is what he's asking. Here's what his request is. Give to your servant a what? A hearing heart. An understanding heart. Could be translated either understanding or hearing. An understanding heart. Why? To judge your people that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Interesting, isn't it, what he's asking for? And my question to you, have you been asking for an understanding heart to discern between good and evil? because we see in the next verse that this pleased the Lord. This pleased the Lord that he asked this thing. Now here's God's answer. It's interesting. This is a dream, but they're talking back and forth in the dream. Isn't that interesting? Of course, God, we know, speaks to people in dreams, particularly in the Old Testament. And we see here, but not only speaking to Solomon, Solomon's answering him. And so some of the commentators have said this is the best time to really talk with the Lord in a dream, because you don't have any interfering thoughts or anything else coming on. You're just totally given over to it. But he says, God says, because you've asked this thing and have not asked long life, riches, or the life of your enemies. What do we usually pray for? Most of the prayer requests I get are for healing, long life, riches. Maybe not riches, so to speak, but financial blessings, right? And we all want to be healthy. I had a woman that came up last weekend, and I knew her from the cancer support group, so I knew she had cancer. So, I mean, I know where she's kind of coming from, but she came up and she said, would you pray for me for 5 more years? I want to live long enough to see my my first grandson graduate from college. And I said, no, I won't pray for 5 more years. I said, I will pray, if it's the Lord's will, for as many years as he gives you. If he gives you 5, wonderful. He gives you 5 months or 55 years, whatever his will is. But I'm not going to pray to extend your life just because you want to extend it. I want our lives to be totally available and ready to serve the Lord until he's done with us. And then we're out of here. And I know, and you know, the glorified body is going to be so glorious. And when we're with him, I don't know what we're going to remember back to these days, but I can't imagine we will say, how foolish of I wanting to stay in that body, to stay in that place, when God has something so much better for me, you know? But you know, we want to hang on to life. I mean, that's part of the flesh in us, don't we? At any rate, he has not asked for long life, nor for riches, nor for the life of his enemies. And God says, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right and what is wrong, to discern justice. Beautiful. Verse 12, behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall there be anyone arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among all the kings all your days. So God is blessing him in abundance, far more than he asked for, giving him what he asked for and what he did not ask for. The long life is conditional, however. Look at verse 14. If you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. You know, in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, that we have a lot of if-thens, don't we? If-thens, if-thens, if-thens. It's all conditional. And I know John Corson made the point, which I think is a good one, that Jesus Christ has taken away the if. The if is gone now. Now it's the then for us. And so we have been redeemed. We have been saved. So now, what do we do with it? What is the then? But here it's the if and the then. If you walk, then I will lengthen your days. And then Solomon awoke. And indeed, it had been a dream. Now he goes to Jerusalem, where he probably could have done all of this in the first place. And he stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings. I think I said a while ago that the Ark of the Covenant was in Gibeon. It wasn't. That's where the old tabernacle was. But the Ark of the Covenant had been in Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. So look at the thankfulness of Solomon. And this is really before these promises have really been manifested. I mean, this is just right after the promises are given. He hasn't received the wealth yet. He hasn't received the honor yet. But we see the importance of thanking God, even if the promises have not yet fully been performed. So in summary, would it be said of you that you love the Lord? And are there any excepts in your life? Oh, he loved the Lord, except, or she loved the Lord, except. let us look at our lives and take away any of those accepts that need to go, because I'm sure we all have some. Things that aren't really bringing us closer to the Lord. Things that we can look back over the last year or last few months and say, you know, nothing about that situation has ever brought me closer to the Lord. And it's not mandatory that I continue to do it. It's got to go. The accepts. Let's get rid of the accepts that we can and ask for help in doing that. Next, let's stand on the Lord's promises and when we pray to Him. And let's pray in humility, recognizing who we are and who He is. And let us remember to ask for an understanding heart to know right from wrong, to discern between good and evil. Because He tells us to abhor every form of evil, doesn't He? And then we see that He does say, what shall I give you here? And so my question then would be, when you ask the Lord today or tonight for what you want from Him, think it through. You know, most of my prayers change from day to day. What I was really saying was so critical, you know, maybe last Wednesday. Oh, Lord, I just really need today it's totally different. Because that need either got met or it disappeared or the worry didn't materialize or whatever, so now I got another problem today, right? And tomorrow, guess what? It'll be something else. But these are major things here. Ask, what shall I give you? I don't think He's just saying, you know, like for some of us, cure my cold. I mean, that's an important prayer when you got a cold, but I think there's some more important things here that we want to think about asking for, right? And then, lastly, how thankful are you? Are you really, in effect, going to Jerusalem and worshiping Him? Are you thanking Him? Thanking Him even if the promises have not yet been fully performed? And how we thank you for what He's already done for us, right? What He did 1900 plus years ago. How that so absolutely changes all of us totally and completely. Father, we thank you for this prayer and we thank you for the time to think about you and give us a discernment in our hearts to ask for the right things, Lord, in accordance with your will, not accordance with our fleshly desires, but in accordance with your will. And Lord, may we be characterized as loving you and the second great commandment of loving others. And so help us to love one another. Help us to stir up one another in order, considering one another in order to stir up love and good works, Lord, as we looked at a few weeks ago. Bless and guide. And I do pray for healing, Lord. I pray for the colds that are represented here, the illnesses, and I do pray for healing because, again, you have not because you ask not, so we ask. And, Lord, bless and guide each as we go our separate ways now. In Jesus' name, amen.